PM&R is an awesome specialty because you are able to impact people who have lost some level of functioning and really get them to a higher level of functioning, whatever that might be for them, and improve their overall quality of life.
All right, so welcome to the episode. This is Dr. Adam Nessen, PM&R resident, also owner of the Pre-Med Consultants. So if you guys are watching this and you are thinking of going to med school, make sure you reach out to him. All of his info will be in the description below. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to, I know we spoke like, it's been like 2 years, but it's good to be back.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that long, but time is definitely flying for, seems like everybody, which is both good and bad, kind of sad.
Yeah, for sure.
So what you're going to do today is basically give us an inside look at PM&R, which it's not one of those specialties you really hear a lot of med students talking about as, you know, I'm thinking of going into the, everyone's IM or family or surgery. Very, very infrequently do I ever hear someone say, I want PM&R. So I wanted to do this because I did a PM&R rotation in med school, and I thought it was awesome because it's so different than regular medicine. I feel like it's more of a holistic type of, you know, you're actually looking at a problem and trying to solve it instead of just, you know, throwing medicine at it. So let's talk a little bit about PM&R. So for people who aren't familiar, what exactly is PM&R? And what does someone who specializes in PM&R do on sort of a broader scale?
Yeah, sure. And I'd agree. It's definitely a not as well-known specialty, although we've been seeing in the field that that's changing. Every year, it seems like more and more applications are coming in for PM&R specifically. That's what they at least were saying last year when I was applying. Like, it's just been skyrocketing. The scores you've needed, because it historically wasn't one of the more competitive specialties.
Right.
And now even the step scores that you need are slowly starting to creep up. But yeah, just so as a broad overview, PM&R, which stands for physical medicine and rehabilitation, the overarching theme of this specialty is our goal is to get patients back to a higher level of functioning or whatever functioning that they were at prior to whatever injury a life event that caused them to be in a different functional state. So that could be anything from a high level athlete who tore their ACL and was out of sports to someone who had a stroke and now they're definitely their baseline is going to be changed, but the goal is to get them as rehabilitated as possible so that they can have the best and most optimal level of functioning based on their circumstances. So PM&R is actually a much broader field than people think as well. Like you have neuro rehab out of it. You could do pediatrics. A lot of patients like with cerebral palsy we treat and work with. You could do sports medicine, pain management. There's a lot of different facets to it. So that's kind of a broad overview of what the specialty does.
So you just mentioned neuro, you mentioned pediatrics. So are there actual subspecialties that you would train further for once finishing?
Yeah, exactly. So it depends, you know, where in the country you are. I think this goes for a lot of specialties as well. If it's, you know, necessary for you to go and do a fellowship, technically you're trained and able to practice in all these different areas. But if you're in a big city or you feel like your skills are not there yet in a specific field, like for me, I want to go into sports medicine, so I'll very likely do PM&R residency and then do a year of a sports medicine fellowship. But yeah, those the things I just mentioned are basically the fellowships that you could do. It's you could do like pain, you could do sports, peds, neuro rehab, things like that.
When you're dealing with these patients, because it is rehabilitation, what's the typical time frame? I know you just started, so you might not have a years of experience with this, but like, how long are you working with patients? Because this must be a great field if you really want to develop relationships with patients, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it changes again, depending on which subspecialty within PM&R. For example, when I was doing my fourth year rotation, I was working with Dr. Thomas at Montefiore. He's actually, I think, recently retiring, which is a lot of my fellow residents are sad about because he was the PD and everyone loved him and his patients loved him. And he was pain management specifically, or had, he did everything, but he had a pain clinic as well. And some of these patients who deal with like chronic pain have been with him for 30 years and really developed a long-term relationship with him. And you could tell like how impactful he was in their lives. Then there's other subspecialties, maybe even sports. You definitely have like that athlete might be coming back. Like I've gotten so many sports injuries. I was always going back to like a sports medicine physician or orthopedic surgeon. But you know, you're treating that either whether it's a torn ACL or maybe I'm doing a PRP injection into a torn rotator cuff or something like that. And you're there for however long that takes, which, you know, sometimes you're doing managing them, diagnosing them, seeing them, how they progress through rehab. And then let's say rehab, like physical therapy, doesn't work, then you could go to other interventions like a PRP injection or something like that. Although that's like kind of an evolving field. But yeah, so like that would be maybe a 3-month relationship with that patient versus 30 years. But it definitely can vary. But overall, it's definitely a field where you get a lot of hands-on clinical experience and you're very patient-facing. And you definitely get to develop relationships with patients, which is one of the reasons I was drawn to it.
Yeah. So, you know, on that, what, aside from that relationship with patients, what else drew you to the field?
Yeah. So when I got to med school, honestly, I didn't even know about PM&R. Like you kind of mentioned, a lot of people don't. I wasn't very interested in orthopedic surgery at the time. I kind of always thought I would go into sports medicine or something with musculoskeletal medicine. And that was the only thing I really knew of that could get me there. And as time went on, I realized that I just didn't have the same passion for the operating room as I saw other people that went into ortho or just surgical specialties in general. And don't get me wrong, like I liked it. I liked being in the OR, but I didn't like love it. And I felt like if you're going to go through a surgery residency, and I know people say it's different when you're an attending, but even still, like then you should want to be in the OR a good amount of your time because you're going to be in the OR a good amount of your time. And I always felt myself just wanting to be speaking with patients and being with them when they're awake than under anesthesia. And so eventually I decided, okay, this is not what I'm going to do. I, at that point, had already known about PM&R and was doing some volunteering with an adaptive sports program because we do a lot of things with like adaptive sports, which is really cool. And so I got more involved there. Did a PM&R rotation and realized that this is also a field that I can get that same experience in terms of sports medicine, being hands-on with patients. I also get to still do procedures, but they're not sometimes 10-hour procedures, and also really make an impact on people's lives and do it in a way that I find enjoyable with musculoskeletal medicine. And so it felt like a perfect blend of many different things for me. And that's why I ultimately ended up going down that path.
Awesome. Aside from injections, which you mentioned, what other, like what's the scope of interventions that you would have with this specialty?
Yeah. So it depends. Like you can be trained, you know, in some more invasive procedures versus not. I mean, a lot of it would, in terms of procedural, would be minimally invasive. So for example, like with cerebral palsy patients, a lot of times you're giving Botox injections because that helps relax the muscles and allows better use of the extremities and being able to use those muscles. But there's other, like if you go into interventional pain or spine, you can do like fluoroscopy guided injections, things like that. And so those are much more procedural. There are like technically, when I was interviewing at one program, some of the spine or interventional spine PM&R physicians who are getting trained in like minimally invasive surgeries, that's much more rare, to be honest. Like that was the first time I had heard it. So I think if you get thorough training, you can go down that path. I know it's not as common, but those are kind of some of the things that you would do. So in terms of like interventions, that's a lot of it, like trigger point injections as well. A lot of ultrasound too, like especially in sports, you're using a lot of ultrasound guided injections. Make sure you're getting the medicine where it needs to be. That's the procedural side, but you also get a lot of training in things like you would never think about, like orthotics and prosthetics. And so that's not necessarily procedural, but you are like working very intimately and with patients, the amputee patients, things like that. And making sure that, again, they're able to get back to functioning the best way they can.
Seems like it's a really satisfying field. Like if you're someone who really enjoys the process of having a huge impact on someone, as far as quality of life goes. It seems that this is a great field.
Yeah, you nailed it with those words. Quality of life is like, that's the key. That's like really what we emphasize in PM&R,
yeah, or I think
also
that's
known as physiatry. And so if you like that, you like medicine, but you're not as passionate about maybe some of like the internal med type cardiology or like diabetes management. Although diabetes does come into play because you'll see a lot of people with neuropathies, yeah, and that's a lot in terms of pain management that we work with. But I like, you know, fixing the pain as more than I do adjusting insulin medications and things like that. But it is very important to know. I won't say it's not, but that's not, you know, where my true passion lies.
Fair enough. I mean, I love it. It sounds like it's, if I did practice, it's something that I would strongly have considered. Because like I said, I did a rotation and it was one of my favorites. Question that everyone wants to know, is this a 9-to-5 type of job or is this involve calls on a regular basis?
Yeah, good question. So it again, depends on which subspecialty within PM&R you go into. So during my residency training, especially because I'm going to be at Montefiore in the Bronx, there's going to be more call than probably other residency programs, or just you would have to take as an attending. But there's generally not a lot of PM&R emergencies. So like if someone has like caught Aquinas syndrome or something like that, because you're on a spine unit or something like that, that would be a possible emergency. A lot of times though, what we do a lot during residency is when we're on the floor. So we're essentially doing like hospital medicine for patients that need to be in an acute rehab facility. So they're there in the hospital with the goal of, if they can do a lot of rehab on a daily basis, that's going to significantly improve their outcomes. And so we're the physicians on the floor in that scenario. And so we need to do the general medicine things that any physician would do, making sure, you know, there are no electrolyte abnormalities, that they're on the right medications, or if they have some sort of infection, they're getting their antibiotics, things like that. But they're there for the purpose of, let's get the rehab, let's get them working with the physical therapist, the occupational therapist, and things like that. So in that setting, there are times where you have to take call, and a lot the residents do that. Attendings every once in a while will have to do that depending on their schedule. But for example, like I'm eventually have the goal of going into sports medicine, and probably as an attending will never have to take any call. Hopefully the only call I have to take would maybe be like traveling with a team to some football or basketball event and being at the ringside or courtside doctor there.
I mean, that's definitely a pretty sweet call if that's the worst that you have to deal with. That's pretty cool. So I know you're still in your first year, so you don't have a ton of experience in PM&R per se, but is there anything that you've done so far that's really stood out that you've absolutely loved? And is there anything that you haven't really loved that has to do with a specialty?
Yeah, good. It's a good question. And so just to clarify for everyone, so I'm in my PGY 1 year right now, which means, so for PM&R and a bunch of other specialties, you need to do essentially an intern year, which is general medicine. So you really don't get a lot of PM&R experience. And that could be at a program that's separate from where you're going to do the PM&R residency. So I'm out on Long Island right now doing my transition year, where I'm doing essentially general medicine floors. I just finished an ICU rotation. It's really not PM&R unless I use my electives to get PM&R experience. And then the next 3 years will be all PM&R. From what I've done so far, I thought working with the adaptive sports program was very, very cool. Just being able to see like how these patients overcame, whether it was they had an amputation, whether they were born with some sort of birth defect that they were never able to use their legs or things like that, and yet overcame it, were able to compete in sports. I was playing wheelchair basketball with some of these guys, and they were really good. Like, it was a workout. Yeah. It was really
fun. Tough, right?
Yeah, they kicked my ass. They also did like just adaptive boxing, things like that. So that was a really cool experience, and like a patient population that I was proud that I was a part of helping. Trying to think, I think there's just, because there's so many facets within PM&R, there are areas of it that I know I won't be as interested in. Like, I am the most interested in pain management and sports medicine. I'm less interested in being like an inpatient physiatrist that's more working, not as like a hospitalist, but it's more similar to that.
You
are still approaching it from a rehab perspective. It's just not like where my passion lies as much. So because of that, I'd say like you do a lot of general stuff in residency. And so I'm sure there will be for everyone things that they really enjoy, but also things that are not more aligned with their interest.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I did a quick research, Google search today, because I'm always curious as a businessman what the median salary is for the specialty. It's right around 250. Now, I know you're also a businessman. And so when you tell me you're in this and there's so many routes you can take, I'm thinking, what is your grand plan to take your medical education and turn it into a thriving business? Is there any, do you have a long-term plan? I know you want to do sports, most likely. What's the long-term plan to really, you know, leverage your knowledge and combine it with your passion of business?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. You're definitely spot on in terms of knowing me a little bit more and that I'm involved in entrepreneurship and business a little bit. To hit that, like that, the thing with the salary metrics, and it is, it's not like one of the highest paying residencies or specialties. With that said, again, I keep saying this, but it depends on which subspecialty you end up in. Because if you search PM&R pain management, they're getting paid pretty well, even if they work. And then it also depends, like, are you going into an academic position or a private practice? And so those are going to pay different. And then also location. Are you in a competitive city? Like sometimes New York salaries, ironically, you would think New York City, like they're super high paying, but because there's such a demand, and sometimes, especially academic positions, not as much supply, like there's not so many open academic positions. I think that there's a little bit more negotiating power from, you know, what the salaries are going to be and not as much budging. So it depends, like if you're the only PM&R physician in some Midwest state, maybe you can get a much, much higher salary. So it totally varies. But yeah, I guess that's probably like the median or aggregate. For me specifically, I do have a master plan, if you want to call it that. It probably would go slightly against unconventional wisdom, go against conventional wisdom, which is you should go out and get more, like either work for a private practice or work in like for a big health system. And then if you want to go into private, then start one. As it stands now, my plan, hopefully I don't get torn up for saying this, is I'm going to go through residency training, do a fellowship in sports medicine, and then immediately start my own practice. And I think then you're taking a much bigger risk because you're determining your own income at that point. So it could be where my salary is $0 the first year, or maybe even in the negative if the business is not profitable yet, because starting, there's a lot of startup costs involved with that. I think it's a much bigger risk, but I have the business background, and I also like the whole point of residency is to be well, like a lot of people say, oh, you don't know anything until you're in attending, which I do agree. Like I'll get better and better as time goes on, even in as an attending. And so some people say go work for a private practice and then go start your own. But I don't really like waiting. And if once I'm done, I plan on starting right away and still having mentors in the field that I can always depend on, if, you know, maybe review certain cases or constantly be going to conferences, getting more training, et cetera. But I think my plan, which is definitely unconventional, would be the second I finish training is to open up my own practice. And I really would love to do sports, have a sports medicine arm and a physical therapy arm in the, underneath the same umbrella, because a lot of PM&R, one of the first, we try to go, our goal is to avoid surgery if possible. And so a lot of times we'll start with the most conservative management and then work our way up. And so a lot of times we're referring out to physical therapy. And one of the reasons you don't always see the best outcomes is because you refer out to physical therapy and then a patient never actually gets physical therapy because you say, here are five places I recommend. Like even when we were at Monty, the in-house physical therapy, the waiting list was like 2 or 3 months. And so we would refer out to other locations, but then you don't know if that patient actually went, made sure they got insurance approval, then actually went and got the physical therapy and how frequently they were going. So if I can keep that all in-house with my patients and have this kind of hybrid model, I feel like I can get overall better outcomes for my patients. And from a business perspective, it also makes sense. So that's kind of a little inside scoop. I've never shared that before with my master plan after.
Well, thank you for sharing with us. I appreciate it. I think that's really good. You know, I recently was, I visited a cardiologist recently, and he does everything in-house, like literally every single test you would need. So, you know, if you've got a problem, I went in for dizziness, and instead of having to say, go do this, right, just did literally everything there. Results, everything's good. Okay, perfect. If I had to run around town and do all this stuff, and if I have like a sore hip or a knee, or, you know, I just have a problem, I'm a lot less likely to do it. So I think the fact that you're just completely eliminating the roadblocks for people, you're right. The results are going to be better just because instead of going across, plus you're in New York, if that's where you stay, and you recommend someone in Brooklyn or Queens and you're in wherever, the Bronx, I mean, that's a pain in the butt to get to, right?
Yeah,
you're just
no,
making
100%.
Life easier for everybody. It's awesome.
It's hard, like, especially some of these, like these patients will take a day off from work. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, okay, now you're going to have to take more time off to go do what you're referring out. Like the simpler and less friction you could have for, I mean, this is something
I was
in business
for
a customer, same thing with a patient. Like if there's less friction, they're more likely to do what is good for them. And so therefore they're going to get better results. So like in the ideal world, let's say we end up where a patient needs to get physical therapy. Instead of it taking a week for them to get physical therapy, we have this right after the appointment, their first session. I actually just thought about that on the spot. I have never thought about that before, but like, why not?
Makes
why
sense.
Can't
yeah, absolutely.
We have a certain amount of openings per day for any patients that want, and then they can get evaluated and then they're already on their way to hopefully rehabilitating. So that's definitely the long-term goal.
And, you know, there's like business people solve big problems. And what you just solved right now, this removing the friction, it's not something you're probably going to find in a hospital setting in a regular private practice where, you know, they're doing it the old fashioned way. So like combining business and medicine, which I wish more people would do, because quite frankly, I think it's broken, you know, just the problem we're talking about.
Yeah.
I think what you just mentioned is a fantastic idea. And the fact that you have the business background, I mean, I have confidence you're going to probably, you'll be number one in the country in no time.
I appreciate that. I hope so. It's, you know, I'm trying to learn as much as I'm trying to be patient, because usually I like to just go, the second I have an idea, go do it. And in this idea, I cannot start because I have to wait through 5 years of residency, which I understand. So I'm just trying to learn as much as I can now on like good fundamentals of starting a practice and good patient care and just becoming the best clinician I can as well.
Awesome, man. I love it. One of the biggest problems that I have, so many friends in medicine. So most of my friends started in 2009, 2010, and now they've been in practice for, you know, 10, 12 years. The majority of them are miserable, depressed, anxious. What has been your experience dealing with residents, attendings in PM&R specifically, as far as the, I know we talked quality of life earlier, but do they seem happy? Do they seem miserable? Like, what's your general sense of people in this field? Because I think that's really important for people to keep in mind.
Yeah, for sure. I, from what I've seen, and this is only obviously personal experience, the PM&R field seems to have the happiest residents, maybe not in compared to every specialty, but from what I've seen in general, like some of the happiest residents, attendings, just all around the board. It's like the whole goal of the specialty is to focus on like health and well-being and quality of life. So it would be pretty ironic, and although in general we do this in medicine, to not focus on health quality of life and overall well-being. So yeah, it's generally one of the specialties that the residency shouldn't, it's still tough, but it's not as tough as a general surgery residency or something like that. So I think during residency, it's still tough. But then overall, I think that it seems like there's really just happy people in this specialty. And that's definitely the vibe I got. It also depends, like certain programs, even when I was interviewing, I interviewed at a bunch of different programs, and some seemed, you could tell like the residents seem happier than others. So there's always program specific culture for sure. But it, as a whole, I'd say it's definitely one of the better, happier specialties. With that said, I'll caveat it with an interesting, and I don't always know like what goes into these surveys, but the burnout rate from a survey perspective for this specialty is actually one of the higher ones. So that seems to go against what I see from a day-to-day basis. And I've been trying to think about why that might be. I think overall, burnout, one of the reasons burnout happens is from like lack of autonomy and feeling. And that's like one of the reasons that I want to go right into private practice, because I'll have as much autonomy as I can as a physician. And there are like a lot of physicians within PM&R that are either going to be employed by a major health system, an academic center, even if maybe they're employed from another private practice, so they're not really in full control depending on like the relationship. But that's an all specialty. So I don't really know why it supposedly has one of the higher burnout rates, even though I, on a day-to-day basis, it seems to be one of the like more of the happier people within medicine.
Because you're doing a lot of physical work with people, is it physically demanding? Is that playing a toll on burnout?
Just curious. It's a good point. It's somewhat physically demanding, but it's not like orthopedic spine surgery, physically demanding or something like that. I mean, like the procedures are generally not terribly long, like, and so I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's definitely things I don't know about the field as well. But I think, sir, it depends too, the patient population. Cause like, if you're in, like, I'm wondering if what the results would have been if they subdivided that per subspecialty within PM&R, because I would imagine like if you're working in the hospital more frequently or in like the stroke rehab unit and things like that, those might have a higher burnout rate. That's just pure speculation though. Than like a sports medicine physician.
It makes sense, you know, especially if you go into something, which a lot of people do. So a lot of people subspecialize because the money's better, and then they do something that they absolutely hate. Like, hey, I'm going to go into some sort of spine specialty because the money's five times bigger or higher, yet it's miserable. People are miserable, and the nurses might not be happy because everyone's in pain. Yeah, we could speculate all day, I'm sure. Yeah, but
exactly.
So I think you have a good point there.
I'm going to research it, and when I come back for the next time, I'll have a better answer for potentially why. But overall, like, it seemed like I didn't even know that for the longest time. I just saw that when like one of the surveys comes out, which always you never know like what's the sample size of those surveys, things like
exactly.
That. I didn't know that because like all I've ever seen is by far and away people seem the happiest within the PM&R specialty.
I mean, that's sometimes just you said you did multiple interviews. Everyone seemed for the most part pretty cool and pretty happy. I mean, I take that more into consideration if I was considering it than a survey, because like you said, where are these people coming from? Anyway, enough of the speculating. Yeah. We could go on all day. Let's say someone's watching this, they're a med student, and they're saying, PM&R sounds pretty good. What would you tell me? Let's say I'm the medical student and I'm strongly considering it. What would you say are some things I should know that would make the decision of pursuing this? You know, like either it's for me or it's not for me. Or anything, like any advice from that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say first and foremost, you have to get involved in it, like, and actually experience it through some sort of hands-on rotation, not just shadowing. I mean, shadowing is always good, but once you're a med student in med school, you're allowed to do more than that, than just shadowing. Okay. So you can, like, when I was on my fourth year rotation, I was actually being able to give some of the injections, or, I mean, it depends on, you know, who you're working with, what they'll let you do. But you need to kind of have that hands-on experience so you can see it, and also make sure to see all the different facets of PM&R specifically, because you might, like one of the things we do is EMGs. That's actually a big part of the PM&R training, and you get certified in doing EMGs, and it actually takes a lot of time. I honestly didn't do that, but you know, you might not like that or you might love it. But let's say you don't like it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go into PM&R, because you might love pain management or sports medicine or something else. And you just didn't know. So it's because it's broad. I would make sure to get a glimpse of everything. And you don't have to like everything about the specialty to actually go into it, but you should like the core embodiment of what the specialty is, which is our goal is to get people back to functioning, their highest level of functioning they can, and have a good overall quality of life. And so if that is a mission that you resonate with, and you maybe don't like surgical specialties as well, and you like the musculoskeletal system, you like neuro, then I'd say it's probably a good specialty for you, but I would get involved. So go actually do a rotation in it for at least like a month if you can. Try to get involved if there's any organization. So you can, like for me, it was the adaptive sports program that we had. I was able to go and volunteer once a month with that. And then even some research. You don't need a lot of research to match into PM&R, although it helps, of course. But doing that, you could see it's a good way to one network into the specialty, and then you could leverage that position to, you know, maybe get the rotation or whatever it is. But it's also just a good way to see if you kind of enjoy those topics. So like right now, I mean, I haven't done as much yet, but like I'll be doing research on PRP injections, and then that's definitely a topic that I really like for knee osteoarthritis compared to like corticosteroid injections. It's something that currently only a few insurances will cover, but it seems to have pretty good results. So I'd like to see, you know, if that can be something that's more covered by insurance. So that would be like a project that I find interesting. So just a lot of different ways you can get involved and see if it's something for you. And I think if you do all of that and you put in that effort, then you'll have a really good understanding of if this is a field you want to pursue.
Awesome. Before I get to the last couple of questions, you mentioned pain as a specialty a couple of times. Would this be the same route that a anesthesiologist or a psychiatrist would take?
Yeah, it's very similar. So a lot of times you can land at the same ultimate type of practice coming from different specialties. So for pain, basically you'll see a lot of anesthesiologists and then a lot of PM&R physicians go into pain. Now, I think both of those are good ways to get to pain because anesthesiologists do a lot of procedures already. And also do a lot of those procedures in PM&R. Like you'll have a pain rotation within PM&R. Same thing goes for sports medicine. There's actually like four or five different ways to get to sports medicine. You could do it out of PM&R, which is what I decided to do because I'll be able to rotate within sports medicine even earlier on. Whereas like it's harder to do that if you're coming out of family medicine or emergency medicine or internal or pediatrics. All ways you could still get to sports medicine. Doesn't mean those are bad ways. I just wanted to get that experience, that MSK experience earlier. And I liked PM&R as a specialty overall, but like I probably would have ended up going family and then sports if I didn't do PM&R and then sports.
Yeah, I think that's something a lot of students don't realize is that if you want to get to a certain specialty, there's so many different ways.
It's crazy.
And you have to do your research because you know how many people over the years, like I've been mentoring students since 2009, 2010, and so many students want to do pain. I don't know why, probably for the paycheck, but regardless, but they realized, hey, my step scores weren't great and I can't get into anesthesia. And I told, you could do it through family. You could do it through emergency. You could do it through psych. So guys, if you're watching this, keep that in mind. Like there's a lot of different routes to a final destination.
It's very common that people go into PM&R very like, you know, it's like, oh, that's the pain guy. That's the pain girl. Like they go in knowing that they want to do pain. And that's one of the reasons they really did PM&R. But pain, for that reason, is one of the most competitive fellowships to
get. Of course.
But that would be out of anyway.
Big paycheck, right? Come on, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that PM&R practitioners have certain characteristics that you might not see in like an IM doc or a family doc? Like, are they more athletic? Are they more, you know, do they watch more sports than let's say your boring old IM doc? Have you found anything like that?
I like to say there's, you know, good, there's different people in every specialty. So there's going to be some IM people that maybe are not as personable and some PM&R people that are not as personable and then vice versa, like that are extremely personable. But I would say, I feel like from what I've seen, like people in PM&R generally are persons. I don't know how to say that. they like to be hands-on speaking with patients because that's like what you're doing a lot of the times. There's obviously going to be a wide array. I thought maybe like, oh, there would be more like, you would think, oh, they're going to be more sports type people. You definitely get that. But there's also like a lot of people that go into PM&R without any intention of going into sports medicine. So it's, you know, it's a pretty broad spectrum. It's hard to categorize. I thought it might be easier to like generalize because there's all these stereotypes. Derm has a stereotype, ortho has a stereotype, plastics. So I don't know. I think it's a broader field than you would think. I'm going to just give it the stereotype of people who like to interact with others. Yeah, it's harder to pin it down,
They're not like radiologists. They actually like to interact with people or they're not like pathologists.
I have a lot of radiology friends, but yes, I know some of them, are personable, but others are quite happy that they're not going to have to see patients ever again.
Absolutely.
But yes, I think that if you're going to be a PM&R physician, you should want to be speaking with people on a daily basis, forming relationships with them and really just working on improving the quality of their life.
So if you got good people skills, it's a great field for you.
Yeah, it's a good way to say it.
All right, last question. I'm going to use this one as the trailer for the beginning of the video. If you are stuck on an elevator with someone and you have to give them a 20-second elevator pitch about why PM&R is a great specialty to consider, what would you say?
Wow. Okay. PM&R is an awesome specialty because you are able to impact people who have lost some level of functioning and really get them to a higher level of functioning, whatever that might be for them, and improve their overall quality of life. Whether that's an athlete who's now not able to perform back and you want to get them back on the field, to a stroke patient who you have to teach and help rehabilitate so that they can feed themselves and bathe themselves. No matter what, you're making an impact in somebody's life.
Love it. Where can everybody find you on social media?
You can find me at Adam_Nessum on Instagram. And then on YouTube, it's like Dr. Nessum or something like that. If you go to the Instagram, you'll get to everything. Or if you're pre-med and you're watching it, it's just the pre-med consultants on all the channels.
And the pre-med consultants, just give everyone a real quick breakdown of what that is in case someone listening is not yet in medicine and they're thinking about it.
Yeah, so that's a all-inclusive coaching program to help students that want to get into medical school from wherever they're at all the way until they get in. So it's not just an MCAT program. We don't just help with admissions. If you want to join as a freshman, you're just started, and you want mentorship and coaching from that point until you get into medical school, even if that's 4 or 5 years later, we're going to be with you every step of the way. We also have students who do join in gap years and non-traditional students, but it's basically everything you're ever going to need as a pre-med student. We're there to help.
Awesome. Adam, appreciate your time. Appreciate your input on everything. And hopefully this was impactful enough for students so that they can make an informed decision to determine if PM&R is right for them. Appreciate your time, my friend.
Yeah, no problem. I hope to inspire some students to go into the specialty, and I'll see them as practicing physiatrists down the line.
All right. Take care, guys. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.